All right, here we go, folks. You have your Bible? Go ahead and grab a Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 10. We're picking up chapter 10 today. Joshua chapter 10. I hope this study has been a blessing to you. Joshua is a book of hope. Hope for a new beginning. Hope to go into the new land. Hope for the Israelites, the new nation, God's people, and God's redemption for humanity. This book of Joshua is the foundation of Judaism. Joshua is the foundation of our faith, where we get Christianity. And Joshua is a setup for Jesus. The word Joshua is the word Yeshua, which is where we get Jesus. So to understand Christianity, you really need to understand the book of Joshua. So we've been going through the book of Joshua about 10 weeks now, or maybe 11. At this point, Joshua made a treaty with the, you remember? Gibeonites. Good job. I heard a little answer right here. So the Gibeonites kind of stepped out on faith. Instead of joining with the surrounding kings of the land of the Amorites, they stepped out on faith and they said, Joshua made a treaty with us. Well, it turns out the Gibeonites kind of like important for the land of the Amorites. The Gibeonites happens to be the advanced fighting men they had. The most prosperous city, the most trained. I'm thinking the Gibeonites are like these huge muscle dudes who are just step out and fight all the time. That's how the Bible described the Gibeonites. So look at this, Joshua chapter 10. Now Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, going to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because the Gibeons was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. That's what you're dealing with. So Adonai Zedek was scared, disappointed. So what did he do? I'll tell you the story. So he went to the surrounding kings. He says, guys, listen up. The Gibeonites made a treaty with Joshua, with the Israel. We need to go take out the Gibeonites now, because if the nation of Israel come into our land, we're in trouble. Because now the Gibeonites is going to fight with them as well. So Adonai went and surrounded the king and surrounded everybody and get everybody to team up and go fight against the Gibeonites. At this point, the Gibeonites are a little bit at a disadvantage. So he called up Joshua on the telephone, telegram, whatever, send a horse, whatever they did. Joshua, come help us out. We're being attacked. Can you come and help us? Because you are now an army with us. And as honorable as Joshua was, as the army of the Lord, they set out all night long and marched up to Gibeon to defend the Gibeonites. At this time, Joshua did inquire the Lord, and the Lord says, go. I have given them into your hands. Don't even worry. So after an all-night march, they got into Gibeon and attacked the five kings. Listen to this, verse 9. Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely with Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. I'm trying to pronounce these names as much as I can. And they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth Horon and Azekah. The Lord hurled a large hailstone down from them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword of the Israelites. Do you hear that? More of them were killed by God's hailstorm than the sword of the Israelite. Keep that little piece of information in your pocket. This is like something out of the movies, right? This is something like the movie 300, like where the Spartan would march up and he goes, this is Sparta, you can't take any of us. I'm talking about, this is the biggest battle in the Bible. You have the nation of Israel approaching the five kings, and they're marching in, they're attacking them, and hailstones were forming. The five kings were running to the Valley of Haran, and in this all chaos, and the Israelites were like, hoorah, hoorah. And in the middle of all this, listen what happened. Joshua looked up to the heavens. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord of the presence, in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon. And you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nations avenge itself on its enemy, as it is written in the book of Jashar. And it just, a little side note, the book of Jashar, outside of the Old Testament, there were written documents about the nation of Israel. Just so you know. Outside of the Old Testament, there are documents written about the nation of Israel. They call it the book of Jashar. So in front of the Israelites, the Gibeonites, the king of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jamath, Lachish, and Eglon, Joshua turned to the heavens. Visualize this with me for a second, guys. Entertain me for a second. You're talking about five kings and their armies. The nation of Israel are fighting. And there was so much daylight, and the sun was starting to go down. So there was not enough daylight left for them to kill the rest of the Amorites. So Joshua, in front of the five kings, looked up to the heavens in front of Israel, in front of the Gibeonites, and says, God, stop the sun, stop the moon, so we have more daylight so we can wipe everybody out. If you guys saw the movie 300, I know it's a little bit gory, right? I saw it, right? That's nothing. Like, this is the army of the Lord. The sun stood still. That's all I got for you today. Go home. Just know that God can do whatever, however, however he wants. Anytime he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants. All right? You guys want to hear more or no? You want to go home? Oh, a little bit more. Oh, good. Monica's like, we want more. This is not good enough. We want more. Okay. So I can be like one of those inspirational YouTube, like Instagram pastor, and I go on a rant right now, and they said, you can pray the prayer of sun stood still. God can still do miracles in your life. God can do miracles whenever he wants, however he wants, to whomever he wants, and you can still pray the prayer of the sun to stand still in your life. You just got to believe. Now, that's the end of my sermon. Is that good enough or no? You want more? Okay, more. Okay, we'll keep going. Thank you, Roger. Or I can keep going and tell you who God is. See, here's the thing. The toughest question in life that you might ask is, who am I? Who are you? And why are you here on this earth? I'm sure you guys ask that question all the time. That's the, probably the toughest question in life for you. But it's actually the wrong question, because the toughest question in life, it's not who you are. Throughout history, man somehow put themselves into the center of the universe, hasn't he? Like somehow we ask the question, who am I? That's the wrong question. That's why you don't have an answer for. Because the real question is, who is God? Who is God? You know, we get in trouble because we're trying to find out who we are. But the real question is, who is God? And God reveals himself to us in this, in the scriptures. The very reason why we have the Bible, the purpose of the Bible, it's God revealing himself to us. This is the third and final miracle in the book of Joshua. The third and final miracle in the book of Joshua. The first one is when they crossed the Jordan. What happened at the Jordan, gang? It stopped at flood stage, 3 miles away. Israel didn't even get to see the miracle. God stopped the water from flowing 3 miles away, number one. Number two, when they marched around the walls of Jericho, the walls of 5 feet thick, couple layers, and they marched around. On the seventh day, they marched around, and the wall fell down and defeated Jericho. That's the second miracle that happened. The third miracle now, it's the Amorites. The sun stood still. This is a military conquest. This is not only a physical war, but a spiritual war. Since the creation of the world, man asked the very same question that you asked today. Who am I and why am I here? But the real question is, who is God? And what is he about? This is what the nation of Israel was going up against. They're marching into the land of Amorites. Right? A land where people have rebelled from God. They made themselves to be gods. They put a man in position and call him God. And they were sacrificing people to this person that they call God. This is the warning that God gave the nation of Israel before they went into the Amorites. Listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate their detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. Ouch. Who practices divinations or sorcery, interpret omens, engage in witchcraft or cast spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices to the Lord, your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. People always complain how mean God is in the Old Testament. You might have heard of that already as well. So people are even scared to pick up the Old Testament to read it because it's gross. It's gruesome. There's this war. People are fighting and killing each other. And Joshua says, sun stand still, moon stand still, so we can have time to cut some more heads off. That's what's happening. But if you look at it carefully, they're fighting against a rebellious nation who rips babies out of a woman's womb and sacrifices it to a guy. That's a pretty reasonable ask of God for, in my book, right? Like, that's not right. Don't do that. That's a pretty reasonable ask of God in my book. You see what the Israelites are going up against. So life's ultimate question is not, who am I, but who is God? Here's the kicker. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed. This is the guy. Adonai, Zedek. That is the guy. The Israelites finally made it to the guy. That is the king of the Amorites. That's who in charge. The guy, Adonai, Zedek. His name, Adonai, literally means Lord of Righteousness. Sovereignty. Adonai, that's the guy that's in charge, that made himself to be king and says, I am God. I know everything. I created everything. I know all. This belongs to me. That's the guy. This is who they were sacrificing babies to. That's the guy, Adonai Zedek. He claims to know all things, control all things, and he claims to be God. So this is what the nation of Israel was going up against. So here comes the nation of Israel, walking to the land of Amorites. And they says, no. In the beginning, there was a God. And God created everything in the beginning. In the beginning, there was not multiple gods. You're not God, Adonai. In the beginning was our God, a God. He created every animal that roams the earth. He created every animal that flies in the air. He created the heartbeat of a human being. He created male and female. He created them. And everybody was equal. No one needs to rule over anybody. No one needs to sacrifice to you, to anybody, because we're all created equal in the image of God. Amen? This is what the nation of Israel was going up against. We think wearing a bracelet of what would Jesus do was bold. You know, we think like posting Jesus loves you on Facebook is bold. You're talking about the nation of Israel march into the guy and says, you're not God. No more sacrificing to you. No more oppressing people. No more enslaving people. No more killing people, because you're not God, and we have the one true God, the nation of Israel, the true Adonai, which we're going to cover right now. So there were three miracles. This is the last one. The first miracle is when God stopped the Jordan flowing at flood stage. It shows you that God is in charge of nature, something Adonai couldn't do. When the walls of Jericho fell, God showed his power by saying, I can overcome anything that human invented. Something that Adonai Zedek couldn't do. The last and final miracle. Fightings are happening, hailstones flowing down, five kings are running. Joshua looked at the nation of Israel. He looked at the Gibeonites. He looked at the five kings. He turned to the heavens and he says, God, stop the sun. Stop the moon. Today is the day we're going to show this guy who is the one true God. So he says, sun, stand still over Gibeon, you moon over the valley of Ajalon. Those the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged itself on his enemy. He says all that in front of Adonai Zedek. This is who God is. We spent so much time thinking that the sun really stood still or the moon really stood still. Was it an eclipse? Was it at dawn or was it sundown? I don't care when it happened and I don't care how it happened. The one thing I truly care about is that it did happen. Amen? Because God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and that the sun stood still because God is fighting their battles. Remember I told you to keep that in your pocket? There were more people died at the hand of the hail that's fallen down than at the swords of Israel. God was fighting their battle. The funny thing is that when Joshua turned to the heavens, he says, Lord. The word Lord is the word Adonai. So turning from the false Lord to the one true Lord, he says, Adonai will show you who's the true Adonai, who knows everything, who is the sovereign over everything. Watch him stop the heavens. Let him control the heavens. So here's the deal. So the five kings ran to the valley. Joshua and his army caught up to him, found the five kings in the cave. So they brought the five kings out. This is the picture I want you to get. Joshua put his feet on the neck of the five kings. And he says, today, there will be no more worshiping to idols. Today, there will be no more sacrificing humans to these guys. Today, we are going to kill them. So they took their bodies, they put it on a pole to make an example. On this very moment, there will be no more idol worship. The nation of Israel, it's going to free everybody. And there's only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at sundown, they took the bodies, they put in the cave. And nothing ever happened after that. He said it was still there until this day in the book of Joshua. This moment, that moment when they take the bodies, they put in the cave, God defeated rebellions. He fought their battles. He defended the Gibeonites. The promised land now belongs to God's people. The end of chapter 10 contains the most important statement in your life, in my life, and in the life of Christianity, in the life of your spiritual walk. At the end of chapter 10, verse 43, it says this, then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Not one Israelite died in this battle because they was protected. They were protected by God. Why is this important? No one dies in this battle. 4,000 years later, Jesus came along. Jesus walked into Jerusalem, the same exact location they had this battle. So Jesus walks into Jerusalem. They took palm branches and shirts and clothes. They put it on the ground. They say, Hosanna! Welcome the King of the Lord. The word Hosanna means save now. What happened during that time? Herod made himself to be God. Everybody needs to worship Herod. Caesar is God. You don't need to search far to know that in your own history that anyone who challenges Caesar is challenging God. All road leads to Rome. So now Jesus enter into this Jerusalem at the same exact location as the battle that's happening in Joshua. And he says, I'm king. No, Caesar of Rome, it's not king. No, Zeus of Greeks, that they've been worshiping at the temple down the street where Jesus set foot on, it's not king. He says, no, the Pharaoh in Egypt that all you guys are trading back and forth with and you made this trip over there, he's not king. I am king. And they didn't like that, so they put Jesus on the pole, on the cross. And at sundown, they took Jesus' body and they put it in a cave. If the story ends there, like it ended with the five kings of the Amorites, there would be no Christianity. If the story ends there, that they put Jesus' body into the cave and it remains there today, then there wouldn't be Christianity. There would be no Bible. There would be no Gospels. There would be no New Testament. There would be no Book of Revelation that everyone's interested about. There would be no worship. You and I were sitting here worshiping what? But when they took Jesus' body as the one true king, they put it in the cave, something happened. Come on, church, what happened? 3 days later, he rose. Christianity begins with the resurrection. If the Jesus that they put in the cave ended, his faith ended like the five kings in the Old Testament, in at the end of the book of Joshua, or in the middle of the book of Joshua, there wouldn't be Christianity. But 3 days later, Jesus rose. God reveals to us in the scripture who he is. He's in charge of nature. He can overcome. He can overcome any human invention. He commands the heavens and the earth. He fought our battles. He defeated death for us. Jesus did everything he can to show us that he is the one true God. He commanded the storms to stop. He's revealing himself to us in the scripture. He commanded the storms to stop. He commanded the fish to go into the nets, which I often pray when I go fishing. God, give me something, please. You did it in the Bible. You can do it now, please. And oftentimes, God just tests my faith. He said, you should be at home watching your kids, not out fishing, so he doesn't give me anything. Jesus made the blind sees. He makes the lame man walk. He stopped a woman from bleeding. He turns five loaves and two fish to feed thousands. There's nothing else Jesus can do to show him that he is the true Adonai, that he's in control of all things, that he's the Lord of all things, and he is sovereign over everything. And because he's the one true Adonai, the one true God, they put him on the pole, they put him in the cave, just like the five kings, but something else happened. 3 days later, the one true king rose from the dead. So you and I don't have to die an eternal death. You notice at the end of chapter 10 in Joshua, they all went back to the camp and no one died. That is the perfect picture that Joshua wants us to understand, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so we don't have to die. This is the moment. This is the moment. The moment when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he set us free. He fought our battles. He fought for our sins. We don't need to pray for the sun to stand still. He already did all that. We were the Gibeonites that he was protecting, that he was fighting for. And he set us free, and no one has to die. At the end of Joshua chapter 10, the greatest statement in your faith and in my faith, and in the reason why we're here, Joshua returned to the camp with all the Israelites. 4,000 years later, Jesus says the same statement, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. It's It's fascinating. And it can't be more obvious than that. And today, you can either walk forward and say, I want that Jesus in my life. Or you can walk away like the Amorites and say, no, we rather go worship something else and sacrifice our stuff to that. Or you can cling on to Jesus and says, make a treaty with me. Forgive me where I fall short. I want to follow this Jesus who truly gives life and life to the fullest. The sun stood still. There's never been a miracle like that before or after that day. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you've given us. We thank you for your grace, that you fight our battles for us, that you show us over and over again that you are in control of the universe, and you're knocking on our hearts because you want to set us free from the bondage, from the sins, that you want control of our lives, where you forgive, where you completely set us free. We don't worship a man, we don't worship things, but you are our God. Lord, if there's someone here today that they need to make that decision, may the sun stand still in their hearts that it can't be any more obvious than this. May they come forward and accept you as their Lord, as their Savior. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen.